Okay, so let's turn to page 36 today, tonight. Page 36. You know, the first time I came here to this conference, it was in the year 2002. It was a long time ago. And as a young person, I came every year on a row. I couldn't stop coming to this conference. And then I came as a helper and then as a serving one. And I tell you something, that every year I was waiting for today, for tonight. Because today, tonight, we're not going to have a message, but we're going to have what we call a special fellowship. And this is going to be a talk. We're going to talk with you. It's like having a family time together, okay? So, what about if we read the title at the same time? Okay, one, two, three. The shining and warning of the prophetic word made more firm and the believer's attitude toward the coming of Christ. Wow, what a title. Amen. I'm going to read right away Roman number one. We must live in our spirit to be men on earth with God's heart. Men to whom heaven can be open to see the vision. The vision of what? The vision concerning the destiny of the world and the present situation of the world. You may think, well, being honest, the first time I came here, I was thinking about having a good time. I was not even safe. But the Lord captured me that year. And you know why you are here tonight? The Lord wants to reveal something that it is in His heart. He wants to gain a people to show, to pour out His heart. And tonight, we are going to see what's the destiny of the world and what's the present situation of the world. Okay? I'm going to read A. The time is short. What about if we repeat that all together? The time is short. Again. The time is short. What time? Okay. By studying the prophecies in the Bible and checking with the world situation today, we know that the day of the Lord's coming is very near and that the last week is approaching. Hallelujah, the day of the Lord is coming. Yeah. The time is short. So, you know, the Bible is a book full of prophecies. And we are going to see, as you see in the reference, one of the prophecies in the Bible that is in Daniel chapter 9. Okay? Daniel saw a vision. Daniel saw something. God revealed him something. And it was what we call the vision of the 70 weeks. How many weeks? 70 weeks. Okay, don't worry. We are not going to get in all the details, but we are going to see something about this vision, okay, that Daniel saw. We can divide these 70 weeks in three periods of times, okay? And one thing really important. 1 week in this vision equals 7 years, okay? 1 week, how many years?
7.
Okay, 7 years. So the first 7 weeks that Daniel saw, it was that Jerusalem had to be revealed. And there was a decree with a king to restore and reveal Jerusalem to its completion. So this decree was made and Jerusalem was revealed. Hallelujah!
Amen.
and saints, this was already fulfilled. And this was a period of 7 weeks that equals 49 years, okay? Then there is a period of time of 72 weeks. And this goes from the completion of the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the cutting off of the Messiah. What's the cutting off of the Messiah? The crucifixion of the Lord. Was the Lord crucified? Yes, hallelujah. So this already took place. Okay? So this already took place, and this already took place. But in that vision of the 7 weeks, there is one week left. And this is what we are gonna see tonight. Okay? 1 week, how many years? 7 years. And we are gonna see that these 7 years is the last period of the age. One thing really important. Right now, we are in the middle of these two periods of time. Here, right in the middle. And we don't know how long this period of time is going to be, but this is what we call here the age of mystery. And this is the age we are in right now. We are in the age of grace, the age of the church. But this week, saints, the time is short. This week is coming. And we are going to see tonight. So let me read to you a few verses. This is in Matthew 24:3. Please pay attention as I read, okay? And as he sat down, this is the Lord Jesus, as he sat down on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the consummation of the age?" What a question, right? And this is what the Lord answered in verse 6. "And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars." Does that sound familiar to you? Hearing of wars and rumors of wars. "See that you are not alarmed, for it must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places." You know, saints, famines are the result of war. And since the Lord's ascension, there has been earthquakes on the earth, and these earthquakes will intensify. Verse 8, "All these things are the beginning of birth pangs." You know, when a woman is pregnant, is about to give birth, before she gives birth, she has very painful pains. And this is what we call birth pangs. Okay? You know, pangs here refer to all the tribulations in the New Testament age, including wars, famines, earthquakes, afflictions, and persecution. Saints, you know, in 2020, the whole situation in the world changed. There was, you know, this global pandemic. And is you some of you, maybe you were children, but it affected the whole world. We were locked down in our homes. And unfortunately, many people died. Then, later on, suddenly, a war broke up right there. I remember that day, you know, in the news. I was like, what is going on here? And if you go to the supermarket, I am from Spain. Everybody was crazy buying things. Like, everybody was afraid. And there is a war still going on. And there, and then the war in Israel, Iran. You know, saints, the prices, the money, the prices, everything has increased. You have to pay more for everything you buy. And then what about the violence on the earth? There is more violence than before. So saints, I want to be honest with you. One day I had to go for a walk because I was a little bit afraid. We shouldn't be afraid, but I'm being honest with you, okay? And I went for a walk and I talked to the Lord and I said, Lord, what is going on in the world? Lord, what is this? Saints, the situation is in the world is telling us really clearly that the Lord is coming back quickly. And this is written in the Bible, saints. The Lord Jesus said, I come quickly. I come quickly. And you know what? Since I was like you also, I have been listening to this word that the Lord is coming back soon. And saints, I believe, and I still believe since I heard that word, that the Lord is coming in our generation. I'm going to read to you point B. Okay? So, we know the Lord is coming quickly. And we're happy about that. But what's the crucial matter today? Let's read it together. Point B. The crucial matter today is this. We do not want to bury ourselves in the world, but put ourselves in the Lord's hand. We should know that once we bury ourselves in the world and become rooted in it, it will not be easy to be uprooted. Since I was touched with this point. You know, in 1 John 2:15 and 16, John said, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world, of the world. You know, the world is something made up by Satan. It's a system that possesses people. You know, what does it mean? The lust, the things of the world, the lust of the flesh. I'm going to tell you what's the meaning of that, okay? The lust of the flesh is the passionate desire of the body. The lust of the eyes is the passionate desire of the soul through the eyes. Let's talk about this. You know, saints? We have been affected by that. And these things has caused us many sufferings. And maybe causes us to do things that we don't want to do. All these things are in us because we still have the flesh. The other day I was exercising a little bit at the gym, and I always bring my headphones, but that day I forgot my headphones, and I was listening to the music of the gym, and I was so bothered by the music, You know reggaeton? You know what's that? That kind of music? You know, I was so bothered by what I was hearing that I said out loud in the middle of the gym, "What is this music?" I couldn't understand. I'm not going to tell you the words, but it's all about the lust of the flesh. What about the lust of the eyes, saints? There are so many things available to us. And that's the passion of your soul through your eyes. Saints, are we going to be rooted in the world? Or we are going to escape the world? You know? One way, I want to be honest with you, saints. One way we can be rooted in the world is getting into a premature relationship. That can change your whole life. That can change your whole life. One time a brother told me, you know what he told me? I will never forget about it. It was here in Poland. He told me, "I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to suffer." Saints, we don't want to be rooted in the world. This, it says here, we should know that once we bury ourselves in the world and become rooted in it, it will not be easy to be uprooted. Doesn't say impossible, but it says it's not easy to be uprooted. I have seen saints, young people of my generation, you know, going to the world, sometimes because of our relationship. And saints, I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but many of the cases, even their human life, is not positive at all. Many things going on, not positive in their human life. But saints, we don't want to be rooted in the world, but there is a verse here in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 that says that we need to be rooted. I'm going to remember the song. "I am a tree with roots by the river of living waters." Amen. We don't want to be rooted in the world. We want to be rooted in the river of living water. Amen. Okay, let's read together C, all together. "In the few remaining days, we should get ourselves ready. Let us be those who love and serve the Lord, who are revived and are overcoming every day, and who let the world go, and are waiting with all of our heart for the Lord's coming." Amen, saints. In the few remaining days, we should get ourselves ready. Saints, there is not much time. We have time, but we don't have time to waste. The Lord is giving us time to prepare ourselves for His coming. You know, before I go on to point B, I have 5 minutes. Because of the world situation, it's going to be so desperate, especially here in Europe. People are going to claim for a strong leader. And if you see right now the situation, all of Europe is coming together more than ever. Even the other day there was a meeting, all the presidents of Europe, to invest more money in an army. There will come one day, and you will see, saints, and we will see when people are going to claim for someone, and that's going to be a great leader in Europe. And this is what we know. This is, we know him as the Antichrist. And something that is going to happen, and we come to this week, to this last 7 years, he's going to make a peace treaty with Israel, and there's going to be peace. The Jewish people are going to be really happy. But you know what is going to happen? Okay, remember, the last week, 7 years, okay? That's the beginning of the 7 years, okay? And one of the things that we are going to see in this week is the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, on the Mount of the Temple, okay? This is in the Bible. One day, the Antichrist, at the hall of the 7 years, he's going to break the peace treaty, and that's when the Great Tribulation is going to start. Saints, we need to pay attention to the news. One day we will see there's going to be a peace treaty. And then we know, we can mark in our calendar the last week, the last 7 year of the age. Okay, saints, let's go on to point D. Let's read it all together. Point two. The shining and warning of the prophetic word made more firm to us today. Hey, sisters, hey. Peter likens the word of prophecy in the scriptures to a lamp shining in a dark place. One, brothers, dark place, in the dark night. And all the people of the world are moving and acting in darkness. Caesar 2. Three altogether. The shining of the prophetic word in the dark age is... Rising in our hearts. Saints, you know, the Romans 13 says that the night is far advanced. But you know what, saints? Although there is darkness everywhere, and saints, there is darkness within us. We have the prophetic word made more firm. And this prophetic word is like a lamp shining within us until the day dawns. Praise the Lord for the prophetic word. Amen. Oh, we have a shining lamp right now. Amen. Okay. Well, I think it's fine.
Well, saints, it's so good to be with you. I had the thought, and please don't take this as an offense, because it's not. It's a compliment, although a very strange one. I had the thought, coming back to this time with you all is like putting on an old shoe. You know what I mean by that? It fits. I mean, it's so comfortable. It's like I've been in these shoes for so many years, you know? And then I'm not right now, and then I come back, and oh, I remember. Oh, these shoes are precious. So anyway, hello, old shoe. It's good to be back with you. Well, we are on, so in case you don't know, my name is Peter Harvey, and I love you all. Amen. Well, when I saw the topic of the special fellowship, I thought, boy, I mean, you never know. What will the special fellowship be on? You just don't know, but you know it's going to be special. And so when I saw this, I had the thought, this meets the need, you know? This meets the need. This maybe, it may not be cake. It may not be a pie or something sweet, although at the end, I think, you know, I hope it'll be quite sweet. Maybe it's broccoli a little bit. But haven't you had the experience? Maybe you haven't. Sometimes I just long for broccoli. I long for a good salad. I drive past McDonald's and Del Taco and Pizza Hut, and I'm looking, where, oh, where can I get something healthy? Hard to find healthy food these days. Come to Poland. We're serving it every year. A big bowl of broccoli tonight. And then as you eat it, have you ever eaten something and your body says, yes, right? It's like your cells go, what took you so long? Somebody's laughing because they know what I mean. It's like you just have an intrinsic response to this. And when I saw the title of tonight's special fellowship, that's how I felt. Yes. So let's read it again, okay? Let's read it all together. The shining and warning of a prophetic word made more firm. So a shining and a warning. Which one is it? Is it a shining, which implies positive? Or is it a warning? Well, okay, this is how I would like to start with you because I had my own kids, and one of them is always full of questions. You know her. She's always thinking about stuff, like a lot. So when she hears something, you know, sometimes since I've had my kids, I still do, hallelujah, but now they're 19, almost 20, and they grow so fast. But the older one, she would come to a conference and she'd hear something, and the brothers who were sharing had no way of knowing. That sparked like a month of talk in our house. The brothers just mentioned it in passing. And she picked it up. And, oh, Dad! So it was conversation in the car, conversation at dinner, conversation. And when she started to get to the age where she attended conferences about the Lord's coming, I had to dust off the life studies. Because the brothers, we just don't have time to cover everything in a meeting. We'll say things. We'll put things out there. 70 weeks. Decrees. Peace treaties. I know you wish you had 3 hours on this. We don't. I just have a few minutes left. And she would come home and she'd have to know that she'd have to know it all. So I want to kind of talk to you like that. And I kind of want to put you at ease. But I kind of don't. But I want to help you not go crazy, okay? By sharing this with you. In the Bible, when you read through it, eventually it's a help to know that there's this principle, a principle in understanding the word, called the twofoldness of the truth. The twofoldness of the truth. The truth has two sides. See, a lot of unbelievers, they like to pretend that they're smart. They like to feign that they've got you. They like to think, oh, you Christians, yeah, pointing their finger at you. You're not so smart. I got you. Tell me, you Christian, is God three or is God one? Ha 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 ha. You know, they think they're so smart, you know, they think they got you. Is God three or is God one? And you know what you should answer? A strong yes. And then just let them squirm for a while. That doesn't make sense. You can't do that. This is divine mathematics. Let me read something to you. John 3, verse 13. The people were trying to understand, who is this Jesus? And the Lord says, if I told you of the things on earth and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you of the things in heaven? Okay, then it gets crazy. He says this, he says, and no one, now follow this, okay? And no one ascends into heaven, but he who descended out of heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. You got it? Who am I? The Son of Man. Let me tell you about me. I ascended out of heaven. The same one who will ascend to heaven. No, no. Let me read the word. No one ascends to heaven, which I will do, right? But he who descended out of heaven, which I have done, right? That makes sense. We're with it so far. It's this last bit that throws us off. The Son of Man who is in heaven. Where is he? Is he in heaven or is he on earth? What do you say?
Yes.
You got it. You got it. So should we take the Lord's coming as a warning or as an encouragement? Okay. Don't have a month-long conversation with your dad trying to get him to have it make sense. Dad, should I be afraid of his coming? Or should I love his appearing?
Yes.
Yes, sweetheart. Let's go out for a milkshake and we'll try to get into this. But in case you're confused and in case you find yourself flipping, one moment being afraid, one moment longing for his coming, I want you to know you're normal. You're normal. And you got it. You're okay. Okay? Now, I just have a little bit of time left, but let's get into the outline with this in view, okay? Okay, I think we're at point B. The prophetic word made more firm is also a warning word to the believers. Isn't it nice that this major event, the Lord's coming, it's going to change everything. Praise the Lord. It's just going to change it all. All the corruption, all the suffering, all the death, all the evil things are going to be cleaned up. There's going to be eventually a new heaven, a new earth. His kingdom will be here forever and ever. There'll be nothing between us and him. No more suffering, no more death, no more darkness. Every negative thing. I'm not speaking a fairy tale to you. Every negative thing will be over. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Some of these negative things have gotten into us. Some of these negative things that need to be cleared up have gotten into us. Some are part of our constitution by the fall. Some are part of our fallen habits, the fallen practices that we have ourselves are practicing. And that can't remain. That's not holy. That can't stay. That has to be addressed. Praise the Lord, that has to be addressed. Some people say, oh, I want to live forever. Living forever like I am would be punishment. With all of my faults and all of my problems and all of my fears and all of my weaknesses and all of my... I got them too. More, I think, I'm convinced, more than you. Sufferings. You want that to last forever? He wants to clear it up. He wants to clear it up in the world, on earth, and in you. Amen. He wants to clear it all away. And this major event, his coming, it's going to be a big step in that. And how good, how caring, how loving. Don't think that he's angry and that he's just waiting to pounce on you in his coming. Actually, he's given us signs. He's given us, in this darkness that we're in today, he's given us signs, and I love it. I love these signs. They're not just signs you that are small and hidden on the road. They're a great light shining in the darkness. These prophetic words, like we heard, they're a great light. It's like there's this curve. See, it's really like this. It's like the days of Noah, and it's like the days of Lot. They were barreling down the road in debauchery and in sin and in all of these negative things. And they didn't know it, but there was about to be a turn, a 90-degree, maybe even a 180-degree turn, a U-turn. And it's dark, and they're going the wrong way, and they're about to fall off into judgment. But God in his mercy put a great light here, shining in the darkness. Hey! Hello! Hey! Jessica! You know, I wish I had a light. Wouldn't it be great to turn off all the lights and then have a big torch? Hey! I mean, when we meet the Lord, the one thing we can't say is, I didn't know. Hey! All of these prophetic words are words of love to us. Listen. Listen. Even listen more now than ever. The turn is coming. The Lord is coming. Open your eyes. The age. I tell you, it's so interesting right now. The age is just being prepared. The world situation is on its head. What's going to happen in Iran? Will that country open up and be able to have the gospel of the kingdom as a testimony? I tell you, I'm praying for this. It's time for that. We're starting to translate children's material into Persian in case that country opens up. When will the Lord open North Korea? North Korea is tied to China and is tied to Russia. I don't have time to get into it. It's so interesting. The world situation. Hey. Pay heed to the prophetic word. Because of the prophetic word, the Lord warns us to watch. In Matthew 24:42, the Lord is saying, watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord comes. In Luke 21:34, the Lord warns us to take heed to ourselves that our hearts may not be weighed down with debauchery and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, that that day come upon us suddenly as a snare. I'm a little concerned about this word, drunkenness. We may look at this and we may think, I'm not in debauchery. I don't get drunk. I'm okay. But you know, can I get my phone? I think it's right there. Some of us may not be drunk with wine, but some of us may be addicted to something else. Should I even say it? Somebody once found out there was a young person who's 15 years old, and he has spent, just on what he's recorded on his phone so far, 15,000 hours on his phone. Some of you may go, wow. Some of you may say, oh, is that all? Just intoxicated by what's next. Instagram. I almost said Facebook, but I know that's not a thing anymore. That's so last year, or the year before, or the year before. Just spend a little time to consider. Sorry. Way down in our hearts. We need to watch. We need to be watchful at every time, beseeching that we may prevail to... Now, that's not to say you can't use your phone. Just don't get drunk with it. You know what I mean? Rule over it. All things are lawful, but don't be under the power of anything. When this begins to have a power over you, begin to consider your heart. We need to be watchful at every time, beseeching that we may prevail to escape all the things which were about to take place and stand before Christ. We need to keep the word of Christ endurance. Every word the Lord has spoken in the Bible is a word of endurance. To keep the word of his endurance, we must suffer his rejection and persecution. Here on this point, I have a little note on my outline that says, the world today wants us to step back from his word. You know? I watched an interview one time of a pastor. I won't tell you what channel it was on. I'll only give you its initials, CNN. So if you can figure that out, then somebody on there was interviewing a pastor who was standing on God's word. And somehow the pastor got on to that interview. I don't know if it was a mistake or what. They usually look for pastors who just go, oh, don't worry about it. God is love. He loves everybody. You know. But this pastor was standing on the truth. And the interviewer said, what? Why do you say that for? And he said, because I believe the Bible. And then the interviewer's response was this. He said, the Bible, aren't we past that? Aren't we past all that, is what he said. I nearly threw my shoe at the TV. But I'd like to ask you, don't raise your hand, but I'd just like to ask you, in your private hidden considerations, do you have the sense, yeah, we're past that. I'll take the Bible when it agrees with my modern philosophy. And I'll be past all the other stuff. I got to be modern. I have to be up to date. Is marriage really between a man and a wife? Yeah, that's right. Marriage is between a man and a wife. I'm not past that because the Bible says this. Was there a mistake in how I was made? Do I have the body of a man but am really secretly a woman? Was I made awesomely and wonderfully with no mistake? Yeah, I was. Hallelujah. I'm not past that. Because the Bible says that. And listen, I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to hold fast these words. And it's going to take a little endurance. And it may even involve some suffering. You may be attacked. Oh, you're a hater. If you only knew how much we love you. We are the opposite of haters. Oh, you're this phobic and that phobic. You're just phobic. You're a walking phobic. If you believe in the Bible, you're just phobic. I tell you what I am phobic about. I'm afraid of stepping back from the word of his endurance. No, I won't do it. And it may involve some suffering. We must suffer even rejection. Perhaps even if we had time, I'll tell you, I wish I could tell you a story of a father who pretty much rejected his son, and this is in the Bible, because he was afraid to be cast out of the synagogue. He was afraid to lose his community. It may come to that. We need to overcome and keep the Lord's works until the end. The Lord's works are the things the Lord has accomplished and is doing. If we keep the Lord's works until the end, he will be the morning star to us at his appearing. Okay, let's all read Roman numeral 3, okay? Go. The believer's attitude. A, every today. So if we ever come across anything in the Word that seems a little hard, a verse, or maybe in a whole book, I know some kids, they're just afraid of Revelation. The whole book is just a scary thing. And I can relate with this. But if you ever come across any kind of requirement in the Word, any kind of thing like that in the Word that's a little bit scary, I would advise you to not try to accomplish it, but to eat it. Just eat this. Eat the Word. If you understand it, if you don't understand it, if you love it, if you're scared of it, eat it. Eat that word. Get it into you. The word will become active in you. It will live in you. The word will become the joy and rejoicing of your heart. The word will accomplish what you could never do. But it can't do any of that unless you eat it. So pray, read the word. Say amen to the word. Lord, this word scares me a little bit, but amen to your coming. Lord, amen to these signs, to these warnings. Amen. And even have the boldness to pray, Lord, it scares me to death, but come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's all say that. Come, Lord
Jesus.
I'm out of time, but I'm going to tell you a story. I just graduated from the FTTA, and I thought about this, and I thought, I'm not going to tell them this story, but I'm going to tell you this story. And I was serving full time. And I got to bed, and I was so tired, and I was sound asleep. I had my own room, and this was before I got married. I got married late. But praise the Lord, I got married. But it was before that, and I was sound asleep, in a deep sleep, and I don't like talking about dreams and crazy stuff. This was not a dream, okay? But it was a little crazy. I was deep asleep, and then, I don't know, sometime around 3 a.m., Daniel, I just wide awake, like awake, suddenly just full of being awake. I was so awake. I was asleep, deep asleep, and then wham, I was just like caffeine rush or something, you know? Absolutely awake. And I hopped out of bed. And I don't know why, but I was convinced to my toes that the Lord was coming. It's like, now's the time. It's happening right now, right now, right now. Ah! I was just like so convinced. Ah! I never felt like that before, ever. It was just like, yeah. And I wasn't even, and everything in me was like, yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, where? Come on. And he didn't come. Maybe that doesn't surprise you. I had to get back into bed. And I'm like, what, you're not coming? When are you coming? But listen, okay, here's my point. I wasn't married yet. I didn't have any kids yet. All of my life I was afraid the Lord would come before I got married. It's like, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, after I get married and have kids. P.S., you know. Come, Lord Jesus, but just wait till I fall in love and go through the romance of courtship and have kids and, you know, all that, because I want that too. Then come, Lord Jesus. You know? But, so why did I take, don't remember the story and forget the point. The point is, his coming is much better. It's just so much better. Marriage is wonderful, yes. But compared to the Lord's coming. Listen, in case you don't know, he's coming as your bridegroom. You know? If you're looking forward to marriage, you should be praying, come, Lord Jesus! He's like the best husband. He will treat you with nothing but respect. Love you forever. You want to marry a sugar daddy? He's the richest. He's the rich. The Bible says in Ephesians 3. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That's your language. Sorry, that was too far. Listen. A husband, A husband can only provide so much. A husband can only provide so much. A car, a house. Eventually, the richest husband is gonna run out. But Ephesians 3 says that Christ, the gospel, even just the gospel about Christ, is unsearchably rich. He's the richest, he's the best husband. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's say that again, huh? Come, Lord Jesus. So it's okay to have your wants and things, but just know, nothing compares to him. And his coming will be, there was nothing in me that said, wait. There was nothing within me that said, wait, not right now. Everything within me was just, yes. And I think that's even how the Bible ends, right? Something like this. What does it say? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That's how it is. When we allow him now to make home in our heart, not to be weighed down with debauchery of the world, drunkenness of the world that just weighs our hearts down. When we allow him, access, more and more within us, we're not afraid. But we're calling and agreeing. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Every today we have is truly the Lord's grace. Let's all say thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord. As long as we have today, praise the Lord. As long as we still have breath, we should love the Lord. And we should love his appearing. Await the Lord's coming and always take his coming as an encouragement. When the Lord comes, he will come secretly as a thief to those who love him and steal them away as his treasures and bring them into his presence in the heavens. Oh, we need to watch and we need to be ready. If we desire to be raptured, first, we must be filled with the heavenly breath and have oil in our vessels. You know, young people, oil, you get oil from taking olives and by applying pressure to those olives to keep the word of the Lord's endurance. In this age, will require us to come under some pressure from society, from our friends. There'll be a certain amount of pressure, and it's not going to be easy. But that pressure produces oil. And that oil not only fills our spirit, but fills our soul, fills our vessel. So we have oil in our lamps, we are burning. If we desire to be raptured, we must be filled with the heavenly breath and have oil in our vessels. If we are rooted on the earth, oh Lord, and occupied daily with the anxieties of this life and with earthly pleasures, we will not be raptured at that time. We should remember Lot's wife. When the Lord comes, when he comes, we don't want to be ones who look back at Sodom. Lord, I love you, but Lord, come, but I have this. You know, when Lot's wife looked back. That city was about to be judged. That city, judgment was coming on that city. Judgment is coming on the whole world, on everything. And when that was happening, it doesn't just say that Lot's wife looked back. It says she took a lingering look back, a longing look back. That's where her heart really was. So whether the Lord's coming is something that may put a little bit of fear in us, or whether it's something that we long for, really depends on where our heart is. So thank you, Lord, we have today. And you all are young. You most likely have tomorrow and the next one and the next one. Lord, make your home in all of our hearts. Amen. We're not afraid of this, Lord. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Okay, we'll stop here.